Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us, Stephen St. John and Nate Ducati with Jake Gutierrez. It is Thursday, May 28, 2020. Right there, you heard NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman, also MLB insider for ESPN, Jeff Passan, and Super Bowl champion head football coach Andy Reid of your Kansas City Chiefs, as they all had things to say yesterday, and we replay them for you today. We'll have some more a little bit later on from Gary Bettman. We'll hear from Clippers guard Patrick Beverley about the NBA, also Damian Lillard. And we've got a little Jesse Rogers, ESPN MLB reporter. And so we'll play that between now and the end of the show. And maybe some Jeff Van Gundy, ESPN NBA analyst, who all talked about the return, the possible return of the NBA. Also on the show today, we will talk to our baseball insider from ESPN, Buster Olney. We'll talk to one half of the Racing Boys, Kirk Elliott. So Buster at 7 and Kirk Elliott at 7:30. Then we'll get the forecast from Gary Lezak. And we will see if, as three different people described to me via the text line and or emails, three different listeners described Jake and Nate as a-holes to Gary Lezak yesterday. We will see if they will follow that up with an apology or if they will double down and, as three people wrote, act like a-holes to Gary. And they wrote the full word, but I will not say that because I do not want to damage anyone's tender ears, because there were some harsh words thrown around yesterday and in my emails. So we'll find out. Who knows? That's around 7:55. Then assistant GM for the Kansas City Royals, J.J. Piccolo, at 8:05. Matt Beisler, the captain, El Capitan, of Sporting Kansas City, at 8:30. And then a gentleman and a gentleman, Tim Grenhard, on the show in the 9 o'clock hour. So that is that's a show that's absolutely jam-packed with guests. And maybe, just maybe, a little bit of worthwhile content for you on this beautiful Thursday, May 28th. And the week is flying by, baby, which normally I'm very excited about that, but I have a lot of things that I need to get done with a deadline of tomorrow morning, and now all of a sudden it's Thursday, and Daddy is starting to freak out a little bit, but that's all right. We'll get things done. I usually cheer for the week to fly by, and now this week I'm trying to slow things down, but it ain't working. But you'll never really totally complain about Friday getting here too quick. And based on my sources, Friday is tomorrow.
Wow.
So I'm really excited.
Huh.
Really happy about that. And so we will, even though, and you know what? I'll just get my stuff done. That's all there is to it. I have no other choice. You get it done, and you know, I spend too much time worrying about stuff sometimes, and I just got to do it, and I will. So, thank you, Kansas City. Let's hear first from Jake Pounders, as he has been a champion of AEW, and says if you like the pro wrestling, that's where you need to go right now. And perhaps he's right. Perhaps he's correct after Mike Tyson and Henry Cejudo and others made an appearance on All Elite Wrestling. Jake Gutierrez, your reaction right now to Mike Tyson being involved in your beloved AEW.
I mean, it's fantastic. I mean, we saw his first appearance over the weekend. I sent you guys a clip. Like, this is, and I've been saying it for a while. All Elite Wrestling, Chris Jericho, and it's the owner of is Shad Khan, the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and his son
Tony Khan.
I work for one man, and that's Tony Khan.
Right.
But no, it's it's an offshoot of. Obviously, the WWE is what everybody knows, right? That's the standard in the industry. But Chris Jericho basically went off and started the AEW with Cody Rhodes, and they have high level wrestling, man, and they got high level guys on the mics. The promos are great. The wrestling is fantastic, and now they're getting some star power here with outside of the wrestling world with Mike Tyson and Henry Cejudo. It's awesome. It pumps me up. Last night was sweet.
Mike Tyson's group, including Henry Cejudo, UFC Hall of Famer Sugar Rashad Evans, and MMA legend Vitor Belfort versus Chris Jericho's faction. I'm going to take Mike Tyson's group there.
Every time.
In that situation. And so I'm sure that you're very... very happy, even though Mike Tyson appeared to have some trouble ripping his T-shirt off last night, which is not easy for anyone to do. I think Hulk Hogan spoiled us with his effortless motion he would use just to rip that T-shirt off as Mike Tyson got caught up a little bit in that, but that's fine. Still, the 53-year-old has gotten himself back into fighting shape, and he's back now with AEW, but there's also reports that he's considering some type of return to combat sports, but for right now, it will have to be AEW for the return of Mike Tyson to the ring. So we got that going for us as well. Nate Buchady, good morning. How are you?
I'm great, Stephen. Good morning. How are you?
I'll be better when I get all my stuff done today.
Yeah,
I'm a procrastinator, you know.
Well, I understand that. There's a lot of things that I've had on my to-do list through this pandemic that I thought I was going to get done right away, and it just hasn't worked out that way. So I can identify with what you're saying.
Well, I don't want to be on camera. I think Nate, you've been on camera quite a bit with sporting and Zooms and
yeah,
everything. And so I've not, I've tried to avoid that as much as possible. I look like a caveman with what my beard has become.
I think you look awesome with that beard.
Yeah, I don't know.
Rugged. I think you look awesome with that beard.
You haven't seen what the situation is on my scalp, really, right now.
It's quarantine life.
Yeah, all the pictures I've seen, you've had a hat on.
Yeah, I need to keep a hat on. But the situation, and it's not, trust me, it's not a problem. I'm always honored to do something like this when somebody asks me to. But we are, obviously there have been many events that have been canceled or postponed or delayed because of the pandemic. And, a lot of graduation ceremonies, a lot of celebrations. And so you guys know that I am I'm involved in the Hispanic Development Fund because I'm an alumni and I received a scholarship as a young man from the Hispanic Development Fund. So they've asked me to I emceed their 35th anniversary celebration gala last year at the President Hotel. I've done some other things with them. And so normally they have a celebration for all of their scholarship winners, and they can't have it this year. And you know what, that sucks, because that's such a wonderful time, especially if you're celebrating. I mean, you can imagine, Nate, if you were celebrating one of your kids getting a scholarship
yeah,
to college. Boy, that would certainly be something you want to celebrate. And normally they have an event like at the music hall or something like that where they have 700 or 800 people. It's a big deal. And so they're going to do it a virtual event this year. And I am going to, they've asked me to MC it for the celebration for their 2020 class of HDF scholars. And so that's, I'm looking forward to doing it. And there's some very, you know, both mayors on both sides of the state line, KC Moe mayor and KCK mayor, David Alvey over in KCK, mm-hmm. and of course Quentin Lucas and KC Moe both recorded messages. And our good friend David Ochoa, former excellent offensive lineman at KU, who is the executive director of the Hispanic Development Fund. He'll obviously be speaking, and so I'm just going to kind of be like the guy that just emceeing it, you know, just keeping the flow going and introducing each of the special speakers, and then they're going to have the they're going to broadcast it so all the families can watch next week. And so I need to do that, and I have to get it turned into the production company, and so I want to wear a hat, but I don't know if this event calls for it, but you know what? It's a little bit different, and so maybe a hat's okay. Maybe I can, because I don't think these kids need to see what's going on this scalp. It's frightening and confusing, and you just don't know.
Well, I think for the television audience watching at home, I think I'm going to put a picture up of a current picture of Stephen St. John up, and that's why Stephen's, you know, wants to wear a hat. Right there.
Which one did I send? Which one do you got? Which one did I send you?
The one that you last week.
Yes. I've changed a lot, haven't I?
This quarantine's done a number on you.
Really has.
This quarantine has just ripped me apart.
Man,
I'll tell you that.
I can see why you want to wear a hat.
Right. So, I don't know, but see, wearing a hat's kind of my thing, right? And I don't want to shave my head because I'm still trying to see if I can grow hair on top. I can grow hair on the sides and the back, but it's just coming in. It's slow and steady progress, but it's not a finished product. And so, what if I wear a nice cap? I don't think that'll. Or maybe just a KC hat. I don't know.
Nah, it's acceptable. You'd be all right.
Is it?
Maybe wear a graduation cap. You know, since it's a.
Wish I had one. I don't know where I can get my hands on one right now, but. I'm honored to do that, and so but I have to sit down and record it and everything else and get it done right, and I have a small script that I have to read through, and so I'm going to do that. I'm going to get that done on Tuesday. Hey, nope, I'm going to get it done on Wednesday. They don't need it until Friday morning. All right, Thursday's a day, and something tells me I'll still be working on this Friday morning after the show. But that's how I attack things.
The people usually work best on a deadline.
Oh, that's true for me. There's no doubt about that. And so that's all. I'm just, you know. But sometimes I like to panic. I like to put myself in that situation. I like to be under pressure.
Yeah.
Do.
Pushing down on me. Yeah, that one.
I don't want you pushing down on me. I just.
Well, the pressure is, though.
I don't need you to do any of that. Okay, so we've got all that going for us today on the show and more. And like I said, we have some good sound that we're going to hear in the 6 o'clock hour from various people that appeared on ESPN Radio and SportsCenter yesterday. What do you have any update for us since you are an insider, you're in the know with the situation with MLS and Sporting Kansas City, Nate Buchady?
Well, the last I've heard is just that they're still kind of going back and forth, the players and the owners, on the details of the agreement or the details of the plan. Nothing's been signed off on yet. There is the complicating factor in Major League Soccer of their collective bargaining agreement having not been ratified. So they, for Major League Soccer, they actually had their collective bargaining agreement had expired coming into the 2020 season. And so they had negotiations in the offseason, and they agreed, both sides, to the terms of the new CBA going into the season, but it had not been ratified by either side yet. So it's kind of like, I guess this is something, I'll be honest, that I hadn't followed real closely, because my biggest concern was, are they going to agree on a CBA? Okay, good. We're going to have a season. We're not going to have a strike or a lockout. Here we go. So they had agreed on it, but they hadn't ratified it yet. So now all of a sudden with all these changes, that needs to still be an issue that has to be sorted out. So that kind of complicates the situation for Major League Soccer. Are there going to be changes to the collective bargaining agreement now? Are the owners going to kind of hold the players up and say, hey, look, you agree to this deal in Orlando, or we're not going to ratify the CBA, you know, type of thing. I think that's kind of what's going on in Major League Soccer right now. I talked to somebody yesterday that told me they expect the deal to get done. And that means that they would be playing in basically like around the 1st of July. They don't have a specific date yet still set up for Orlando. They still haven't determined exactly what this tournament would be. Like, you know, we talk about NBA being down in Orlando and that being more of a postseason tournament because they've obviously all finished most of their season already. For Major League Soccer, they've only played two games. So what this would be is a standalone tournament down in Orlando. And they're trying to decide still, like, okay, so what's it for? What's the point of? You get a trophy at the end of this. What are we going to call this thing? And now the one thing you guys know about in soccer, we've learned about in Kansas City, when you win MLS Cup, for example, you get into the CONCACAF Champions League. That tournament. That's why we were down in Mexico playing those games last year. So they're talking about maybe this tournament is for a spot in the CONCACAF Champions League, like the U.S. Open Cup usually is. They're still trying to sort some of those things out. Last I heard yesterday, there are still three teams in Major League Soccer that are not training yet because their local governments won't allow them on their premises. I think it's Chicago, San Jose, and I beg your pardon, I can't remember who the third team is off the top of my head, but there are three teams because of their local governments that are not allowed to go train. I just saw, by the way, Patrick Beverley was on with Scott Van Pelt. He hasn't been in the training facility for the LA Clippers yet. And that's something we have to keep in mind when we talk about all these plans in the NHL, NBA, Major League Soccer. These teams aren't even practicing yet. You know, I mean, they can plan all this stuff all they want. There's a lot of stuff that can happen between now and whenever those games would start because they haven't even gotten the green light necessarily in all cases to get on the court together and have team trainings yet. So to me, this stuff is still a little hypothetical, so to speak, when we're not even at a place in this country where guys can get together and have a team practice, right? In Kansas City, the Sporting Kansas City guys are still doing the individual stuff out at the training facility, but they haven't gotten the chance. They're not allowed to start doing small group trainings in Major League Soccer until June 1st. So they're making progress. I think the owners and the players are making progress on getting a deal done. Now, being able to pull it off, I think, is still something that they've got to. We just got to kind of wait and see.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll hear some sound from Patrick Beverley from the L.A. Clippers and some others after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Thursday, May 28, 2020. Let's hear from a couple of NBA players. Nate mentioned that Patrick Beverley of the Clippers was on with Scott Van Pelt. Let's hear what he had to say. He says that there needs to be more communication from the NBA.
Communication. That's it. You know, it's just sad that we got to hear about things happening, you know, in our workplace and stuff like that via Twitter. I mean, it's good, it's entertaining, it's fun, but just want more communication. Like, let us know. Don't just string us along, man. If the NBA is starting, if the NBA is finished, just let us know. I challenge the NBA. We bled blood, sweat, and tears for this league, and you know we feel like it should be a certain line of respect that you know we should be knowing what's going on.
You know, Stephen, I think that that is a common thread in all these sports that I'm hearing, whether it's baseball, the NBA, soccer. It seems that the game plan by the leagues is to float out their plan to the public. By way of, in that way, they put pressure on the players to then feel like they have to go along with it. Well, here's the plan. We got this great plan right here. Now the only thing that's standing in our way is the players. And I think that they've done that because they know that public opinion will be if the players say no, they'll be the ones that look bad. And I think that's kind of what Patrick Beverley's talking about, too. And it's interesting because we talked about it. It seems like it's all the baseball and their owners that are fighting. I think that sentiment from Patrick Beverley, I think, can be shared by most of the players in all of these sports right now.
I like Patrick Beverley because he irritates everyone he guards.
he likes to get under the skin of his opponent, does he not?
Good.
Yeah, he's a good player.
Hear Patrick Beverley more about wanting to play.
I mean, I just feel like it's someone knows something, you know, and I just feel like, man, whatever the answer is, you know, regardless how people take it, you know, we just want to know, can we hoop? That's it.
And here Patrick Beverley talks about no fans in the stands for the playoffs.
Yeah, a little bit. I think so. Not a little bit. I think a lot of it. You know, it's different going on the road, man. You go on the road and everybody against you. I walk in OKC and the whole city against me, and I'm eating at the restaurant. I know they don't like me, and I'm excited, and I can't wait to get to tomorrow. They call my name. The whole place is booing me, keeps me locked in. You know, it's just not about the positive. It's about the fans that give you a hard time, too. You miss that. You need that, especially for me.
So he thinks that there will be an impact on the games and on the players with no fans. Let's hear from Damian Lillard from the Blazers. He was on Jalen and Jacoby here. Damian Lillard talks about why he said that he didn't want to play in meaningless games.
I mean, I felt like the way the story was written, it was taken out of context because it was a casual conversation. And it was like, expletive this, expletive that. But it wasn't a demonstrative statement. I was just saying, you know, we've been off for 2 months. If we come back, we want to play for something. After this type of break, usually when you come back, especially with how fast we're going to be jumping into playing, you know, I think guys are at risk of injury, also at risk of, you know, being exposed to whatever because, you know, none of us have been around each other if so many teams are going to be in one spot. So there's so many things out there that, you know, we could be at risk of. So, I mean, if we're going to do it, obviously as players, we want to play, but we want to play for something, especially if we were in position to play for that in the first place.
Here is Damian Lillard talking about the reaction from other players on his comments.
One of the reasons I haven't heard from many other players, possibly other guys that feel the same way, they want to play for something. And some people might be looking at it like, you know, it's almost summer. This is usually when it's our break. We're going to come back and not be able to actually play for an opportunity to continue to play. Then, you know, I feel like some guys would prefer to just go on about their summer. But I want to play. I've said that many times. I want to play. I just want to play for opportunity to be in the postseason. I didn't feel like that was a bad statement.
And here he says that he wants a play-in tournament but understands if that does not happen.
So I feel like a play-in tournament would be perfect just because we actually were in striking distance and also had enough games to get in the playoffs. But to that point, if they did decide that, you know, we just going to go straight to the playoffs, obviously we would all be disappointed. But to this point, we haven't performed to be in that top eight. So if that's the case, then fine. But if we're going to just come back to play games, I feel like that would make it, you know, that'd be harder on everybody else.
The Blazers are 3.5 games behind the Memphis Grizzlies for the 8th seed in the Western Conference.
Well, we talked about the idea of them expanding the playoff field, too. If they did that, you might get a team like the Blazers in there. But I understand what he's saying.
Yeah, but I don't blame him for saying that he would not want to come back if there was no chance to make the playoffs
and
play some meaningless games. I mean, that's...
Yeah, I agree with him.
Who would want to do that, especially if you're a star like Lillard and all you're doing, if you're coming back and you're playing at this point, and having to restart the season, and you don't have a chance at the postseason. The only thing you have a chance at is getting hurt.
Right, right.
So I don't see a problem with him saying that at all. That was Damian Lillard from the Blazers. We'll take a break. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Okay, let's hear from another sport. Let's hear from the NHL. As we try to get you the latest updates from all the major sports that are working their way back to the, we're back in action, back to the field, back to the court.
You know, to something Nate said earlier, it's
back to the ice,
back to the ice, to the rink. This is the only league that we haven't heard bickering back and forth. Now, I don't know if that's because they don't have any power and the NHL players union. Like, look, we've watched the NHL completely can a whole season because of labor talks. So, you know, their union clearly doesn't have as much weight as some of the other unions in professional sports. But we also didn't hear them going back and forth, right? We didn't hear that the players weren't tweeting stuff. You know, the GMs and owners weren't out releasing plans saying, here's our plan. You know, they weren't doing it in the public spotlight. And look, they out of all these leagues, they look like they have the lead right now. They look, especially on the image side, they look like they get along. And this could have been the messiest situation ever. We just don't know because they didn't do it out in front of us.
They need eyeballs more than any other sport. And they could take advantage of this, you know. I mean, hey, look, they're behind baseball, they're behind the NBA, they're behind most every sport we talk about. Even though the fan bases are fierce and loyal, and the people that love hockey, but they are positioned to benefit greatly from getting all the crap cut out of the, you know. Cut all the crap out of everything and do whatever they can to get back on the ice and seem like they're ahead of the other sports. And whether that's all just perception, we'll see. But they certainly look like they have their everything more in order than the other sports. That's at least what the perception is right now.
I think your point about them having the most gain is a big one, because there's actually, and I know people will laugh at me, but this is a legitimate point I'm making that relates to all the rest of it.
Damn it, guys. What now?
Oh, that was good.
People might.
There's a professional sports league in the United States, a team professional sports league that's already had an agreement between their players association and the owners, and they have a plan, and they have dates, and they are ready to go with their competition. And that is the NWSL, the National Women's Soccer League. They have 9 teams in their league, and they just announced yesterday, and their Players Association put out a press release saying they have agreed to terms with their owners, and CBS is going to carry some of the games. And that's exactly what you're talking about there. They have been trying so hard to get people to watch the league. Obviously, we know that when the women's national team starts to play, then the country watches like crazy when they play in the World Cup and those things. But then trying to get that same audience to come over and watch them play professional soccer has been a real challenge. And
you know how many things I'm watching right now that I would not ever watch?
Right.
I mean, I just, so yes, you take advantage of these opportunities.
Yeah.
You take advantage. If you're NASCAR, you take advantage and you have a midweek race and you have a weekend race. If you're golf, go out and do some fun things like we saw last weekend. You know, if you're UFC, take advantage of the opportunity when you're the only game in town. Yes, this is an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Get it done and play and get in front of eyeballs that wouldn't normally give you the time of day. Let's mm-hmm. hear from Gary Bettman, NHL commissioner. Here he tells us why economics will not be a huge concern.
I've heard, you know, I know you guys have been discussing the economics in other sports. Our economics, we're never an issue. We have a system that's been in place now for almost 15 years. We paid a pretty high price to get that system installed, but there's nothing to discuss on the economics. We share hockey-related revenues 50-50, and they are what they are. You know, there'll be some discussions about moving the timetable of free agency and salary arbitration, and when we ultimately hold the draft. Well, there may be some discussion about, you know, how to repay the escrow and things like that, but we've been in a very jointly focused collaborative process, and I'm delighted that the players and the Players Association have been so engaged.
And they had a bad work stoppage 15 years ago. It got really ugly. But they got things sorted out, and for 15 years, apparently, they've had labor peace in the NHL because of it. And by the way, a couple Kansas City guys, Kansas City natives, Don and Steve Fear, are the heads of the Players Association and the NHL. Used to be in baseball, by the way, and now they've been working with the NHL Players Association for years now, and it's good to see that. And one thing I was thinking about, guys, I hesitate to admit this, but Seren Petro, I thought, made a really interesting point yesterday. He was,
and this is just an opinion,
and I don't know if it was his opinion or if he was just throwing this question out there, but it did kind of make me think a little bit about it. He's like, hey, look, if Major League Baseball and their players have been fighting this much for the past 3 years and this unhappy about everything, maybe this is the year to say, screw it. You know, let's have this thing out. Let's get it sorted out for the next 15 years. And if we have to skip the season, what better season to skip? Because it's not going to be a real season anyway.
Well, look, if on the horizon wasn't a whole nother collective bargaining agreement,
right,
like, we wouldn't be sitting here like this.
Right.
Absolutely not.
Right.
If they were in their second year of a new 10-year deal.
Or if they were happy with the deal they had right now.
Right. Well, I mean, the thing is, the deal is up.
Yeah.
So it's not like, you know, the deal is up after this year.
But like, I mean, the last couple times they just re-signed the deal before it even really got to a deadline, you know, because they were happy.
Yeah. But I mean, but for the point, like, they saw this coming to a head because mm-hmm. the players have been unhappy, the owners have been unhappy, and look, that's why we are seeing this all out, because the heightened awareness, the heightened sense of awareness on both sides of, well, we don't want to give too much because we're going to have to go back to the table next year and do this all over again, that they're both tight sphincters.
Yeah, and the owners, I think the players have been more mad at the owners than the other way around this time around, because the owners haven't had much to be mad about. They've been making tons of money, and they haven't been paying as much to the players. But now they're going to get mad at the players because the players are basically saying, take this job and shove it right now. So I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, we've talked about the long-term damages. Maybe it would do horrible long-term damage, but on another term, like, when you hear about what the NHL did, they paid a heavy price 15 years ago, but because of that, they've got themselves in a situation now where for 15 years they've had labor peace and they've been able to put themselves in a good position. So maybe the owners of baseball just need to sort it out, and this is the year to do it. I don't know.
Here's more from Gary Bettman about the NHL adopting a 2014 playoff if the season returns.
Our competitive balance is so extraordinary. We have lots of clubs in the playoff hunt until the last few days, last few games of the regular season. We had 189 games left to play in the regular season, and there were a lot of teams on the bubble. So we made the decision as to what made sense, how we could create a tournament that was fair and had integrity, because the Stanley Cup champion deserves to be acknowledged as a true champion. And that's how we came up with what we did.
I would like to watch a hockey tournament. Let's also hear from Gary Bettman about no fans for the near future.
You know, our assumption is that we're going to be concluding the 1920 season without fans. Based on everything we're hearing, because again, while the medical people are going to be determining what we do, so will governmental authorities. And you know, we'll do some fun things around the broadcasts of the game to make them more interesting than just an empty arena. But I think everybody should assume for all sports, for at least this summer, you're not going to be looking at fans as much as we can't wait to get back with our fans.
That was NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman. We'll take a break back after this on WHB. Very wise words there from the great Frank Sinatra. Let's hear now from Jesse Rogers, ESPN MLB reporter. Then we'll talk to Buster Olney at 7. Let's hear this clip from Jesse Rogers saying that baseball is not close, but there is a path back.
Well, it's not close, but I think it is actually moving in the right direction. I know sometimes the headlines are negative, and even myself sometimes take a negative slant. But think about a week ago, they were talking about revenue sharing, and that really was a non-starter for the players and continues to be. But that wasn't even an official proposal yesterday. They shelved that right away after leaking it and getting the reaction that they got from the players. So already there's been an advancement, so to speak. Now, this was a first offer yesterday. yes, maybe it was designed to cause a little turmoil within the players, since the highest paid players will take the biggest cut and the lower paid players will take less of a haircut, so to speak. And remember, 65% of major league players make $1 million or less. Now, that's still a lot of money for you and me, but not all of them are multi-millionaires the way we normally talk about this thing. So there's a first proposal, had nothing to do with revenue sharing. The players will make a counter proposal, and I absolutely think there's a middle ground, and there is a path to a deal to be had.
Rogers, ESPN MLB reporter, who was on ESPN radio yesterday. Here he also says that for the most part, the players are unified.
From what I'm told, it's pretty unified. Now, there's 1,200 players when you talk about 40-man rosters, 30 teams. Did I get an opinion out of all 1,200? Of course not. Of course not. Are the louder voices in the room the guys that make the most money? Of course. So I can't tell you for sure all of them are completely unified, but in general they are, because those $1 million guys know that without the Max Scherzers and John Lesters and Mike Trouts, they don't have a revenue engine going the way that baseball does.
Here's a couple of more from Jesse Rogers. Here he says the CBA being up next year is not talked about enough.
I think the big thing here is, or something that's under talked about at least, is the fact that the CBA is up a year from now. I really contend that if this was the first or second year of a 10-year agreement, it's in place, you can't change it, that we'd have different rhetoric going on. But considering that right after this, they have to start negotiating a new CBA, I don't think you can separate those two things. And that's why Tony Clark's been adamant about no revenue sharing, because that's a precedent that could easily carry over, at least in the owner's eyes, to the next round of negotiation. So I think timing has been a big thing here in terms of the bad free agent classes these last couple of years, all the bad rhetoric there and the lower sign. Now, of course, Mike Trout got his and Bryce Harper got his, but some of the lower guys, not as much. Combine that with the fact that the CBA is up, and that's why they haven't been able to keep this stuff out of the headlines.
And finally, Jesse Rogers says he expects a July 4th return.
Oh, I think July 4th. I've thought that for quite a while, and I don't just mean a week or two. I've thought that for probably upwards of 5 to 6 weeks. I thought, July 4th meaning July 1st, but we'll just use the holiday. I think we see baseball by July 4th, as has been sort of rumored over the last couple weeks for sure. But I've heard this for a long, long time now. They were aiming for a July 4th startup.
Nate, you have 60 seconds to give your thoughts on what Jesse Rogers had to say.
Well, I think that the CBA is, as Jake said earlier, is a huge part of this whole situation. I think it's a huge part of this whole situation, and I kind of wonder if the Players Association isn't being a little short-sighted by staying so ironclad to the idea of not like splitting the revenues. Because it seems like that's worked out pretty well for these other leagues. Let's just agree on a number. You get a certain number of the revenue and we get the rest. That might avoid some of the tanking, and make some of these lower investment teams like the Rays and, sometimes Royals go spend some more money. But I'm not an expert on their negotiations. So it's easy for me to sit there on the outside and say that.
We will break now, back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. All right, coming up on the show, we're going to talk to Buster Olney up next, our baseball insider. And then after that, we'll have Kirk Elliott, Gary Lezak, J.J. Piccolo, Matt Beisler, and Tim Grunhard between now and 10 o'clock, all right here on the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB.